really soft. It's a medium. It's very big for a medium. So I think it'll, because their stuff always shrinks. So I'm happy
about
it.
You should tuck it in the front.
I don't think I can do that.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to tuck it in my sweatpants.
Okay.
So you tuck it in one side or both sides? That's what I feel like such a clown. Like I would just be giggling if I did it.
I know. It feels weird. No, you tuck it in both sides. Like you, because that one's a button down, up, whichever way you want to button it. You do both, but like one is way more outside than the other.
That's ridiculous. Friends, this is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the podcast that helps you love your actual life so that you don't need to run away from home. Here we believe that perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away. So at the top of the show, you heard my sister and I talking about the front tuck situation. I don't know if you do that. I love how it looks. When I see girls who've done it, I feel like they're so brave, but I just can't. So can you? Are you a front tucker? So the front tuck and other life-changing topics are discussed on Patreon, the Struggling Sisters show. Join us if you haven't yet at patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. I want to thank Katie, a different Katie, an altogether different Katie from Katie, my sister, and Kaylee, who just joined us. We hope you guys love it. We are so happy you're here. You get two extra shows every single month, plus an exclusive Patreon Facebook group where we discuss things like the front tuck, which I'm sure it actually has a name, and I bet it's not front tuck. But anyway, maybe I'll get there someday, but I kind of doubt it. So ladies, this week I'm bringing you a show. I interviewed a married couple who had a real tricky marriage. They were not in a good place, and they found a very unique solution to a marriage that wasn't working. So they're going to talk very candidly about their marriage and what was making it be so not great. And I feel like I talk every single week about the importance of community, but one of the things they didn't have was anyone around them. They were isolated and in a marriage that wasn't great. Unfortunately, I think a lot of you guys can identify with that. So we talk through that and what helped them get to the other side. Also, there's tips at the end for a spouse of someone who is dealing with depression and anxiety. The husband shared some really great tips for that that I think would be helpful. Even if you have a great marriage, it could always be better. So I hope that you pull some great tips out of this interview with the Peppers. Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're great.
Good.
We're enjoying ourselves today. That's
we're
for
doing
sure.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Y'all are in California and I feel jealous about it. I just want you to know that.
Do you get that a lot? Yeah. I mean, well, we've gone through many a January in multiple different locations with cold climates.
Okay, so you've done your time.
Totally done our time.
Yeah, we deserve this.
That's true.
We deserve it. Wow, I like that. I like that positive framing there, honey.
So good.
We're enjoying ourselves for sure.
I love it. Okay, so y'all are the Peppers and you have a podcast about marriage. Do you like me telling you about you?
Yeah.
What else should I tell? Tell me other things.
So far, so good. What's funny, though, is when you say we have a podcast about marriage, totally true. But also, it's funny because I always think of it being more a podcast about random things that comes from the perspective of being two moderately decent married people.
Moderately is a generous term.
No, I think it's accurate. Okay. We're moderate. That's like right, squarely kind of average.
Yeah. Solid fives.
Our podcast is more about us talking about the things that we're going through and how to navigate that as a married couple, but is no way advice for people. Like, we're just trying to figure out our own stuff as we go along.
Yeah,
that's true.
I feel like that about me and this podcast on parenting, because I don't know enough to give advice, but I can say what's happening.
Yeah. And I was going to say, actually, sometimes I think that's even better than advice. If we want to get into it, I mean, like the act of learning / living through whatever it is that your primary role is at any given point, I think is noble, and you're doing it.
That's something.
And you're exploring so many different approaches, I think, through doing this show, which I'm sure you learn a ton through doing that.
Well, it's kind of just an act of desperation, which it sounds like y'all, that's how you got to where you are. So tell us how the show even came about. What was going on in y'all's marriage?
Well, when we started the show, we were 7 years into our marriage. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, we were in like a really bad spot. Our marriage was not functioning well. It was not healthy. We were on the brink of like, okay, I think this was, we gave it a good old college try, and I think we're ready to call it quits.
Which, to put a little bit of a finer point on that, that was never really like splitting up. I wouldn't say it was necessarily something that was even really on the table for us from the very beginning. And yet, I kind of think it's important to mention this right now because even though we had that mindset and that outlook, like, no, we're never going to split up. And probably everybody assumes that when they get married, hopefully.
Hopefully, yes. Well, that's a lot of money for a party.
But that's so true. What a waste of buffets and flowers. But yeah, we'd gotten to the point where we were just having these conversations that would end with us staring at each other, thinking and saying in some cases, how the heck did it get to this point? And what are we supposed to do? Yeah. Like, now that we've realized it's not working, do we live the rest of our lives with this relationship that just doesn't feel like it's serving anyone in any, you know, not each other, not ourselves, and no one surely enough around us? And so we felt really stuck.
Yeah. So we were in this moment.
So we started a podcast.
Yeah, might as well. I mean,
so we're in the middle of this, and I want to just kind of put some context to it. Was we were also living in New York, and we had just come from a period of time in our lives where we felt like we had really a rich wealth of friendships. And then going to New York, we felt like we kind of were lacking some of those deep connections with people. And so
New York City, it just takes, things take longer. Friendships take longer to cultivate, in my opinion, in our experience.
Yeah, in our experience.
And so we had this isolation time, season, whatever you want to call it, sort of happen in conjunction with a lot of these other just general circumstantial marriage challenges. And it felt like the two converged to create the perfect storm. And so I think we would have these moments where we'd say, gosh, I wish that Rick and Joanna could hear us having this fight, or I wish that Liz and Ben could provide a little bit of outside perspective for us in this moment.
These friendships of people who didn't live there, who we had once been so close with.
Right. And just for the sake of accountability, and for a lot of reasons, I think those conversations are healthy to have, maybe not in front of people, although we do say that there is a case to be made for fighting in front of people. I know that.
No, we do. In our church, we have community groups, and they are, I kind of struggle with it because it's almost like marriage. It's really hard to get out of them. You have to have a good reason, and you have to kind of work through conflict before you're kind of able to get out.
We have lots of opinions about this type of thing.
Okay.
Because I think they're powerful and super important and can be so meaningful and so life-giving. But just like you said, it's not the easiest thing always.
Horrible sometimes. And I think everybody who's in one of these would say it is incredibly refining and is not comfortable. But we fight in front of each other. And it's been amazing. We've seen so much growth in the families who are in community with.
Why do you think that is?
I mean, because you have to, sitting in it and staying in it. You can't just call it off because you don't like each other, and you have to work through stuff. It's just, I don't know. It causes me to depend on Christ because I'm like, they are annoying, or I don't like how they're doing this. And why do you keep, you know, you just also, it helps you have so much more compassion because you can see their blind spots that they can't see. And then you go, well, my gosh, I bet I have some too.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to thank one of our sponsors today, Beekeepers Naturals, the company on a mission to reinvent your medicine cabinet. Beekeepers Naturals is replacing our regular conventional medicine cabinet staples with clean, natural remedies that actually work, like propolis throat spray. This throat spray is a daily dose of defense when it comes to supporting our immune systems, soothing a scratchy throat, and supporting a speedy recovery. The Thomas family loves this propolis throat spray. It has 3 ingredients, full of antioxidants, and it's exactly what our bodies need when we're in recovery mode. My kids love spraying it in their throats, and I have to tell them, like, okay, let's just do how much it says on the bottle, because just because you like how it tastes doesn't mean we can do it for funsies. It's time to give your medicine cabinet an upgrade to Beekeepers Naturals. To save 15% on your first order, go to beekeepersnaturals.com/MSW or enter code MSW at checkout. Again, that's beekeepersnaturals.com/MSW or enter coupon code MSW at checkout for 15% off. All right, ladies, listen up. This could actually save your life. Even though we try to make good choices, there are some times where we just feel unsafe. Maybe we're walking back to our car alone. It's darker than you meant for it to be when you were leaving. Well, I have a solution for you that makes me feel a lot safer. It's called InvisiWare, and they have jewelry that could literally save your life with the touch of a button. So InvisiWare has bracelets and necklaces and keychains that have a button on them that you can't see, and it allows you to alert up to 5 people or even call 911 if you need help. It also sends them your exact GPS coordinates. You can do it discreetly and quickly. You don't have to worry about reaching for your phone. Best of all, there's no subscriptions. There's no monthly fees. InvisiWare has already saved so many lives. It's great if you're young and just feeling like you're unsafe sometimes, or if you're older and you're concerned about falling down and needing help with a medical emergency. InvisiWare is a really thoughtful gift for yourself or a loved one, and you can choose between a lot of different necklaces, keychains, and bracelets. I have a black keychain, and it's really gorgeous. So InvisiWare has given a special offer to moms who are struggling well. You can get $10 off your first purchase by going to InvisiWare.com/MSW. Again, that's InvisiWare.com/MSW. And plus, if you order today, you'll get 2 days free shipping. So don't wait. Go to InvisiWare.com/MSW for the special limited time offer.
So this is, you're explaining exactly what we were kind of pre-podcast where we were. We weren't sitting in our arguments. We were having a hard time. Every time conflict would come up, it just felt like everything was crumbling down. I would panic. Jesse would panic. It was just this kind of like, we couldn't see past what was in front of us, and we didn't know how to stick with it. And so when we were in this moment of like, I wish these friends were around us to help kind of navigate this stuff, we made the joke. I think one of us said, hey, let's record this fight and then we'll send it to our friends and then they can tell us who won the argument.
I love that.
So, and then I said, that sounds like a great idea for a podcast. And he was like, you're crazy. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I am.
Yeah.
And then 4 years later, wait, four, five,
almost five,
almost 5 years later, here we are. But it's funny because the one thing that I think also would happen prior to us starting the show, prior to us moving away from our friends, I remember that we'd have those dinner table moments similar to community group where you find yourself getting into it. You know, there's people there. And I remember thinking, wow, these are conversations that are more efficient and meaningful. I think partially because I'm way nicer to Gerard if there's people sitting there
exactly,
watching.
Exactly, you're on your best
way
behavior.
Way nicer.
Yeah. Way nicer. And yeah, and I feel like I'm a little bit more, you know,
diplomatic.
So much more diplomatic, more articulate.
Less
I'm like,
cussing.
You know, using yes. accurate vocabulary, yes. not a lot less cussing, but a little bit less cussing.
Less so, storming out because that is not.
Oh, for sure.
And honestly, that's like one of our, well, I was going to say biggest challenges, but you know what? I think we've really figured out, we've got some helpful tools. We've uncovered accidentally some helpful tools that have really prevented the storming out situation. Cause that was something that we would both do. And then if you're both stormer outers, you're in the middle of a fight and you're like, do I try to outstorm him by leaving the room first?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I try to force him to stay in the room? I don't know. He's
so I can have my grand exit, like
sit on him or something. Yeah. Yeah. Because I want to be the one to storm out. I don't know. Anyways, it's so interesting how our conversation styles have changed. And I would say for the most part, been edified by the practice of having them on the air. But we have still our own challenges that have arisen aside from that. It's just interesting because I think our conflict muscles have gotten better.
Oh, 100%.
Our habits have gotten better.
100%.
Okay, so tell me what habits have improved. And is there like a resource you've used that's been helpful? Or is it just the practice of conflicting well?
Yeah, I mean, I would just start first with conflicting well. Because we were recording our conversations on our show Marriage is Funny, we would record these conversations of just some of it was mundane stuff and some of it was serious conversations. And somewhere along the line we would get into what felt like a heated conversation between the two of us. And we wouldn't
really like huge fights. We would be disagreeing, which is normal. And
yeah.
But strong opinions about things.
But when you're telling yourself, okay, I need to record something for a podcast. We had this kind of like deadline, accountability. Mm-hmm. We're trying to fight fair.
Yeah.
And then we're also like, I can't leave because we have to finish the show. Otherwise, I'm going to have to come back and record it. So
you can't storm out.
That's so good.
We were hanging in the fight longer. Right. And then we find our way through it. Because we would honor each other in that and try to, you know, figure a way to resolve it.
And here's one of the things that would happen. I don't know that I'm necessarily proud of this because, you know, if you have a professional psychological expert listening, they might say this is like a horrible coping mechanism. So I don't know that I'm recommending it.
Uh-huh.
But
I also can't wait to hear what you're about to say.
And so what I notice is prior to us starting the show, our conversations would just end when things got so nasty or bad or painful or whatever, or someone storm out. But to what he's saying is we'd hang in there long enough. And I think what would happen is we'd realize either what we were talking about really isn't that important in the long run, or we'd realize that we're not at a point where we're going to solve it. Or we'd realize basically just you'd get to the end of the conversation and the world didn't end.
Mm.
And so a lot of times those conversations would end because we felt like we'd gotten to the end of it. It's like, where are we going from here? And since there wasn't a final answer or like conclusion, one of us would make a joke and we'd both end up laughing. And then we realized the power of laughter and lightheartedness had to, I guess, soften the edges of something that would otherwise have ended painfully.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, wait, maybe there's something to this whole thing that if we just keep talking, eventually we're going to come up with something that's funny about the situation. Even, I know that sounds crazy, but even in the really painful, crummy, just gross fights, we usually, I would say 9.5 out of 10 times mm-hmm. can come up with something that's like at least sort of funny.
Yes, I agree. That's the thing I've learned about how my husband and I fight, because bringing things to community that we cannot seem to agree on, we laugh so hard and everybody looks at us like, are y'all really? But I don't, there's something about hearing your internal monologue said out loud. I realize how ridiculous I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you know the other person's for you, even if they're making you nuts,
yeah,
you do have the freedom to laugh, and then you can kind of realize you're still on the same team,
mm-hmm.
even if they're wrong. Just kidding.
Exactly. Well, and that's part of what's funny is we'll get to the point where we're like, I'm wrong, you're wrong, we're both wrong because we're not able to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so let's just get over it and make a joke and move on. And it sounds kind of – it sounds like I'm being flippant or whatever. And actually, some people – that listen to the show, it makes them super uncomfortable. We've gotten messages from people that are like, you guys are fighting about something. And again, we really don't fight all the time.
No.
I feel like it's a small sliver of what actually happens on our show. But if we get to the point where we're disagreeing about something and we don't resolve it, we inevitably will have people say, you know, this would be way better or more useful for people listening if you guys would resolve what you're talking about. But it's kind of like, look, this is real life.
Yeah.
We're not, this is, it's not scripted. We're just talking things out. That's the show. But I want to go back to, you asked about tools a second ago, because one tool we've come across super recently that I just cannot get over how much it's helped us in terms of digging out of those messy moments is this language around the fact that we all have these internal stories going on.
Yes. Did you hear from Brené Brown?
Oh my gosh. Yes, we did. It's some completely changed, because we've always known, one of the things that I say all the time is that knowing your partner's inner world is really, it's like a key to a lifelong relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, I mean, for us, I think it started with even knowing that the other person had an inner world to begin with.
Yeah.
I think Gerard thought that like, we are friends, we're married, I know everything there is to know about her. And I'm like, no, there's a whole thing going on up here.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on in this inner world. But I also can't expect him to just know what's going on. Yeah. So I had to get into a better habit. We both had to get into a habit of letting the other person know what's happening in the inner world. But sometimes that it stops, I think, when you're disagreeing with each other.
Yes.
It's sort of, you don't feel in the mood to let the other person know. And we watched Brené's special. I'm sure that's what you're referencing, or maybe she's had it in other places. But that whole idea of saying, look, the story I'm telling myself right now is fill in the blank. And it happened for us pretty much the day that we watched her Netflix special. And we just looked at each other and it was groundbreaking. We realized like, oh my gosh, it diffused everything in the most powerful, beautiful way.
Yeah, because you're being vulnerable and saying, so I'm telling myself is that I'm not good enough for you to spend time with, or you don't like mm-hmm. Sometimes it's stupid, like, the story I'm telling myself is you hate the way I cook chicken.
Yeah.
No, right. I'm just not hungry. Oh,
yeah. Exactly.
That's very different.
And sometimes just saying it, and I think this is really powerful stuff, is naming these things that are going on in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
The story I'm telling myself is this, right? A lot of times if I say that or Jesse says that, we recognize as we're saying it, okay, this is silly. This is silly that this is what I'm picking up right now. And now if I'm being honest with myself, I'm reacting out of this story. But as soon as I name it, I almost take the power away from it. And I understand, okay, if I say it out loud, I understand that's not a true story and I can set it aside. She knows now why I was defensive.
Mm.
And now we can address the fact, okay, now we're working on something else. There was a different fight going on than the one we were verbally having.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so powerful. We use that all the time. That and my husband will walk up to me with his hands up, like in surrender, to be like, I come in peace.
Oh my God.
And that's so helpful to me. And it lets me know he's about to say something I might not like.
That's great. I like that.
He's not armed.
Yeah. But you know, it's funny because even like I was sharing the story thing, the story I'm telling myself thing, I was sharing that with a friend the other day and she goes, oh yeah. We heard that also as great advice and we tried it and it doesn't work for us because her partner is not willing to share in that way. And so she's like, it has turned into something where I'm just constantly saying the story, you know, she's using it, but he's not. And so it's actually caused, I think, more challenges, or it's like
hurtful.
Kind of,
yeah,
it's a little bit hurtful because it's not met. It's not reciprocated, the vulnerability. And this actually brings up another thing that I think has been a huge, we stumbled into it, figured it out, and it's been actually a huge help for us in our relationship, is that not everyone's advice is going to fit our relationship. Because there were a lot of things that we were using to try to fix our brokenness,
mm-hmm.
in that year 7 that he referenced. And that was even almost more frustrating, is us trying really hard to fix our situation with these tomes or these pieces of advice we'd picked up in places that should have worked, or in our minds should have worked and didn't. And in some cases were kind of inflaming the situation, and
you feel more broken even then.
Then you're like, okay, so all these tools that everyone says are the end all be all don't work for us. We're doomed. We must be completely doomed. And so then what we started doing was like, what if this piece of advice, like the one I think of most commonly, is don't go to bed angry or don't let the sun go down on your anger. My grandparents used to say that all the time, and that worked for them. They were married for, gosh, like 60 years, mm-hmm. by the time one of them passed. And that just does not work for us. And we have learned that if we're tired, we do not fight fair.
No.
And it is not worth staying up, because if we had to finish a fight before we both went to sleep, I'm convinced we'd be divorced by now.
Oh, 100%.
Because things would get so bad. I mean, it's just not healthy for us. And so what we would do is,
plus I'm falling asleep and then you're yelling at me for falling asleep.
Yeah.
And so I think what we started doing was asking ourselves critically. I mean, I would imagine people experience this too with parenting. It's like, if there's some piece of widely held, we luckily are not subjected to quite as much like people throwing parenting advice at us just because our parenting situation is more unique. But
yes,
but I know like so many of our friends who are parents are like, yeah, there's so much advice and everybody's got an idea of how it's supposed to be done. And for us, it's like, if we hear someone say, this is how it should be done in terms of relationship, we always ask the question, like, why, and how would it work for us, and how might it work differently, and why might that be better for us, and how would our unique situation be affected if we tried it this way or that way? And so what we do is, a lot of the advice pieces, we call them myths. And so we've just started to reframe the myths and figure out what works for us. One of the ones I referenced earlier is like, don't fight in public. People, I think, for, again, maybe that's a little bit antiquated, but you sort of assume that to be appropriate and respectful and not awkward, you know, it's probably a better idea to keep your fights behind closed doors. But as we already talked about, like, there's so many reasons why that can actually be healing and effective and appropriate in certain situations. And so we've actually said, you know, maybe there's a strong case to fighting in public. Mm-hmm. We put together a video series, and it's called The Three Marriage Myths That Nearly Ruined Our Relationship, because we chose three of the worst ones. And it was really fun to use that practice. But one of the things that we are excited about is that we want other couples to be able to start doing that in their own relationship. And so, you know, we thought, if people can see us doing it, maybe they can figure out how to rewrite their own marriage myths.
Yeah, that's great. Because we do. We have to stay curious. Because if you're curious, then you're interested and you're still in each other's lives. Mm-hmm. And more than just like a roommate situation. I think the other thing, though, especially when you like bring kids into the situation, in some ways, and I'm not saying it's okay and you should be fine with this, but there is going to be an element of feeling like a roommate. You are for a season. I'm not saying that you leave it there, but you also got to be realistic here. We are not going on our first date. We're not going to have the butterflies all the time, and maybe not for a season. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just think sometimes we are not in real life, and we're not in reality. We are in the movies, our picture of what we think.
Sure.
The other day, I was hanging out with my husband, and things just weren't going well. And I told him, I said, "This is not how it is in the movies at all." But it's just important to remember.
Newsflash.
Yeah, that real life doesn't look like it does on Netflix.
That's great.
I think the dose of reality in that case is helpful, because then it's about expectations, which is another thing we've talked about a lot. And I, for a long time, had a really difficult experience of the contrast between what I had expected marriage to be like versus what it was for us. And there was almost like moments where I would need to grieve that, I don't know, there's weird situations where I would be like, I feel misled. Like, this is not how I was told it would be. And so managing expectations has been certainly another part of just, you know, just being really fair and honest with each other about what the person who has the expectations is envisioning. And then let's, you know, talk it through to understand how we can either make it closer to that or reset our expectations.
Absolutely. It's that time of year again where we reflect on 2019 and look forward on our goals for 2020. A great way to do that is with Noom. Noom helps you pick the goals that are right for you, whether it's feeling better in your clothes, having more stamina, or practicing more self-care. And Noom personalizes a program to help you make your goals a reality. I would like the clothes I currently have to fit me. That's one of my goals. And Noom is helping me do that. In fact, I have a coach. Her name is also Emily, which makes me like her even better. And if for a couple days I am not participating with the app and engaging with it, she texts me and says, "Hey, sister, where you at?" And it's helpful. I don't want to let another Emily down. You know what I'm saying? So Noom is based on psychology, and it teaches you why you do the things you do and empowers you with the tools to break the bad habits and replace them with better ones. And you're human. If you get off track, there's no shaming. They just give you tips to help you get back on track tomorrow. I'm really busy, and Noom only takes about 10 minutes a day. I can definitely handle that. And statistically, over 80% of Noomers finish the program, and more than 60% have stuck with their goals for at least a year. Now is the perfect time to make a step towards healthier habits. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, which is noom.com/MSW. Visit noom.com/MSW and start your free trial today. You're going to love it as much as I do. That's Noom.com/MSW. Valentine's Day is coming. It's going to be here before you know it. And if you want to send someone special a one-of-a-kind Valentine, I want you to know about Baked by Melissa. They have bite-sized cupcakes. They come presented beautifully. A couple weeks ago, I showed up. I had had a spa day with a friend that she took me out for my birthday. And when I got home from a day of relaxing, there was a gigantic box on my doorstep full of amazing cupcakes. I mean, I didn't even know that the day could get better, but it did. Each one is so tiny and cute. Why are small things so much cuter? I don't know. They're tiny and cute with such detail. There's icing. There's something on top of each little cupcake. I went ahead and ate every red velvet one that there was, but I did manage to save some for my kids. There's so many different flavors, and since they're nice and small, you can try them all, or several of them all, in my case. So Baked by Melissa offers 1 and 2 day shipping nationwide, but the last day for shipping is February 12th, so don't wait too long. So this Valentine's Day, send your loved ones the perfect gift, Baked by Melissa. Go to bakedbymelissa.com and use promo code MSW, and you'll get 15% off your order. Ladies, these are delicious and super cute. So take advantage of this special offer. That's 15% off at bakedbymelissa.com, promo code MSW. Okay, so let's talk about isolation and finding couple friends. Mm. A lot of times, I mean, it's just twice as complicated to find couple friends where you both click. Mm-hmm. So tell us what's worked for y'all.
Oh my gosh. We are so, so passionate about this topic. I think, you know, we're both social people to begin with. So the actual fun of having friends that we like to be with is a huge part of that. But then I think, like we said, that's been also a saving grace for sure. And it's interesting. Making friends has looked so different depending on our life stage, but also depending on what city we live in.
Yeah.
And depending on, we've both had differing career setups in terms of like how many hours we're working and all of that. And so it's going to be different for everybody. But one of the things we've learned actually just in this last season of our podcast, season 8, we did something different because historically our episodes have always just been the two of us talking. For season 8, we had guests on the show who were a couple friends of ours in real life, essentially. And what we did was we asked for advice on a specific thing that was challenging us or a specific way that we were struggling and wanted to struggle well through.
Yeah.
And so we would just sit them down and say, hey, you guys just paid off $238,000 worth of debt. Can you help us create a budget?
That's great. Like,
yeah. Or that's an example, but I think really, honestly, what has been so helpful in deepening friendships for us is figuring out, like, let's say you identify a couple that you'd love to be friends with. Or deeper friends, like go to that next level with. Figure out something they're good at that you'd like to be better at and frame it up as, hey, we would love to learn from you.
Yeah. There's something so powerful in just like in me being interested in Jesse, right? The more I'm interested in Jesse, even now, 12 years into our marriage, the more I'm interested in
12 and a half.
How could you forget that half?
You know what's funny? Pretty much like a few days after every anniversary, I just start rounding up I say almost 13. We've been married for almost 13 years, even when it's been like 12
the
and
day
one.
After. Yeah.
Anyways, what were you saying?
Okay, so in 12 and a half years of marriage, the more I continue to be a student of our relationship, of you, mm-hmm. you know, that continues to build connection. It builds relationship. The same is said for your friends, right? And so.
You know why? Because you know how flattering it is
an
to
honor.
Feel like someone's interested,
yeah,
or cares sure. that you have figured something out in a way that you've mastered it or yeah. something.
You feel seen. That's
you yeah. feel so
we,
seen.
We want that, yeah.
And I don't need to be embarrassed that we don't have a budget. Nah. And like I don't need to be embarrassed that sometimes we fight in bad ways mm-hmm. or that as a couple that works together. That it doesn't always jive well.
And
like all those things. Let's talk about it.
One of the reasons I think it works is because if we're being vulnerable to say, you guys figured something out that we would love to learn more about, there's a level of vulnerability, right? Brings that back into the conversation. And so I think then we're modeling vulnerability in a way to the point that they feel like, oh, they just have really like shared something with us that most people are not willing to talk about out in the open. So, and it's not like we're trying to manipulate them into being vulnerable with us, but I think then they realize Jesse and Gerard don't feel like they need to have it all figured out in front of us. So maybe we don't need to have it all figured out in front of them.
That's so good. I love it. So, okay, what if though only one of you connects with, like, you don't, one of you doesn't like the other spouse? Or not that you don't like them, but there's just no.
You just don't jive or whatever. Chemistry. It is. Yeah. I mean, like, I think a lot of times we try to, you know, when you're first trying to get to know some people, low stakes situations are great. Like, happy hour here. Mm-hmm. Hey, we actually have a group of people getting together. You guys should come along.
Like, yeah.
It's just kind of building those friendships, right? Mm-hmm. And you kind of see really quickly, I don't really have a lot in common with, say, the husband here or something.
I'm trying to think of an example.
Well, I would think of, there's a couple I'm thinking of. I'm going to say.
Don't put them on blast.
We're whispering it. Okay, now we know.
He mouthed it.
Okay, so when I think of that couple, right? There's been times where you have been like, I just cannot hang.
The wife.
I don't feel good after I leave their house, like that stuff.
They're super nice people. She's very, 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 very negative. And like really brings me down.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so how do you, what do you do?
I'm almost bummed out. So we just, we don't hang out with them anymore, but.
We broke up. It's over.
We kind of did. There wasn't like a falling out or anything, but I think, you know, you get busy, or I honestly think we're not at the top of their list either.
Listen, here's the deal. The feeling is usually mutual.
Yeah. I really get that vibe. And it's almost like in a dating relationship, you know, when you're when you date someone, if you kind of both aren't feeling it, neither one of you is devastated to walk away, because it's like, hey, if this is not working out, why are we going to put in the effort? And that's, I think, you know, we worry about it less like going into it. I think in that case that, you know, the example that he gave, sure, we kind of realized, meh, maybe this isn't meant to be. But I don't really think about like, oh, what if we don't jive with them? I think we kind of just suspend our disbelief, or whatever the right phrase is there. We don't really worry about it until it's an issue. And for the most part, I think if one of us, what do you want to say?
No, I was going to say, well, I think there's something to be said for also in these situations, you know, it can be really easy to have two conversations happening at the same time. You know, I'm going to talk with the husband about sports or something.
You mean like
while
we're all together?
Yeah, while we're all together. Mm-hmm. I think we actually really enjoy having this kind of group dynamic. And so a lot of times, even when we're having a conversation, you know, like someone's trying to
bother you off. Yeah. I don't like that.
You don't like two separate conversations?
I don't mind it if it's just like intermittent, but we did go to happy hour the other day with a couple, and we were sitting, like, I was across from the wife and Gerard was across from the husband. And it did turn into like the gals were talking and the guys were talking. And it was basically the entire time was two separate conversations. And afterwards, I felt really bummed out because I already know the wife. She and I hang out and he already knows the husband.
Okay.
And so I didn't get to know the husband at all, and I hardly know him. And so when we left, I was like, I mean, it's not that I don't want to try to hang out with them ever again. But to me, when we do something with another couple in that case, like, I really enjoy it when we're all chatting, because we could go do stuff separately anytime. Do you know what I mean?
That's
it's
good.
Like
kind
of a different vibe.
Yeah. I want to know everyone there. And I want, there's something magical, I think, that happens in that conversation of this kind of, we're all kind of in this together.
Yeah.
Some of the funniest moments happen in those times.
It's true. Totally true.
If I could also speak to the person who might be listening thinking, what do I do if we like go through the effort, we get a sitter, we make the plans 6 weeks out because everyone's busy, you go to dinner, you're sitting there and you're like, this really bites because we are not clicking. Then you do it again with another couple. Like you just got to keep going. Don't stop. No. Unless you live in the middle of nowhere and there's no one else that lives around you, I would say you just have to keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's funny because we live on a street where we're really, really, really obsessed with our block, and our neighbors are a big part of that. And we're the youngest people by kind of a lot.
Yeah.
And like we spent New Year's Eve with probably the two couples that we're closest to. One couple, they're what?
40 years older than us.
40 years older than us.
And the other's 20 years older.
Almost 30 years older than us. And so one thing I would say is start thinking outside the box, like different life stages, different career paths, different parenting statuses. Like, don't feel like every box on your own identity list has to be checked with the people that you're friends with. Because in most cases, our experience has been that if you are friends with a more diverse, for lack of a better word, in every meaning of the word, I think, actually, our life feels so much more rich and our experiences with these people goes more deep.
Well, and they're so varied. Like, I have a friend who is obsessed with karaoke. I have a friend who is like a hardcore artist. I have a friend who is like, she's a ride or die, make everything magical. She brings a banner to everything. There's always tattoos to put on.
That brings a banner to everything. God.
Well, you are. You're an Enneagram 7, right? Wow. So yeah. Yeah. And so bringing us all together, you never know what's going to happen. We've done parties where we make crepes and do Zumba. Like, it doesn't even matter.
Word, I want to be invited to these.
But it's so fun, right? And I never would be like, I really want to go to a party and make a crepe or do karaoke, but I'm so glad I have.
Yeah, I think you just got to keep pressing into that. I mean, it's similar with one-on-one friends, right? I mean, when you're building up your tribe and connecting with other people, I mean, yeah, I think it's very similar. There just happen to be two personalities to deal with. Or in the case of, you know, if you're going on a double date, it's four personalities.
Yeah.
But it's important. And so it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
Worth the effort.
So good. You were talking, Jesse, about anxiety, having an anxiety disorder and being married. Mm. I know that that is something that a lot of my listeners are working through. So what's working?
Let's go there. Yeah. What is working? I could tell you what's not working. I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, yeah. Just talk to me about it. Say some words.
What is working, Gerard?
Patience. I mean, I can speak from my side.
I'm an open book about all of this. And I'm just, to be totally honest, I'm like really in it right now. I mean, not right now, but this has been a really difficult season for me the last several weeks, couple months. And 2019 was rough for both of us for a lot of circumstantial reasons. And I find that a lot of times layers of circumstantially unfortunate events weigh me down. And then I'm more easily triggered and have a harder time being resilient. And so that has definitely been my reality this year. And it affects our marriage in a poignant way.
Okay. And Gerard, can you identify with what? Like, where she's at, like, how do you enter in?
I understand Jesse's anxiety has been higher because of all these other circumstances that have been going on in our lives.
I would say recently, I think depression has been a harder part of that. And they don't always go hand in hand for me. And I've had like seasons of severe anxiety where the depression piece is not as prominent. And I would say this kind of darker season that I just referenced, I would say is far more depressive than anxious. Yeah. I don't know if you'd say the same.
I would agree with that.
But he bears the brunt of it all. It really sucks. I feel badly, but
what can you do?
I mean, it's like, I don't want to be in this position either. I don't want him to be in the position, but I don't want to be in it either.
So how do you navigate that? Yeah.
So one of the things that I've had to kind of understand and kind of work through for myself is, first off, I cannot control Jesse's depression and I cannot control her anxiety. Like, there's certain things I can do maybe to help ward things off, right? Like, so there's certain ways that
logistical things,
right?
Can, yeah.
Uncertainty is going to create more anxiety in some cases. And so if I can kind of have the wherewithal to be ahead of some of those things, then I can maybe help squelch some of that. But if she's feeling anxious or she's feeling depressed, I cannot control her emotions. What I can do is understand that her depression or her anxiety or whatever, how that's expressing, is not on me. You know, so she's anxious and then she's acting out or is upset. It's not necessarily that she's upset with me. And then I can stand solid here next to her and be okay with that. And I don't always know what to do in those situations. But the one thing I do know is I want to be present to her. And the best way I can be present is not being defensive or take on her feelings or feeling like I have to fix her feelings. I can simply be her husband in our relationship and be sad with her when she's sad or, you know, help her figure out what it is that, like, is there a way forward here? I can help you with that. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just do that.
Just feeling like you're not alone is like, yeah, so big.
Really. And that's honestly a lot of times what I need to, like, if he were to storm out or feel like my sadness or anger or whatever it is was directed at him, if that were to cause him to scoot, that worsens the spiral in a lot of cases, I know, for many people. And so his willingness to, the metaphor that popped in my mind as you were just talking is almost like, I mean, this is a little bit morbid and maybe also topical with gun control conversation, is like, it's the difference between him thinking that I'm wielding, what's this kind of gun?
Like, like a Glock or a handgun or
yeah,
something?
Yeah. I don't even know what they're called.
Neither do I. No idea.
So it's the difference between him realizing like she's not
waving a pistol in the air.
It's a Nerf gun. Mm. And I'm going to trust that she's going to make good decisions. But at the same time, like he's, it's almost like he's acknowledged. And I don't know if you have actively acknowledged this, but what I heard you say just now was because what she's dealing with is internal and related to what she's going through, it's actually not dangerous to me, mm-hmm. to him. And that's why it's more of like a Nerf gun. And so he's staying there because he's realizing that my, whatever I'm experiencing doesn't need to threaten his personhood.
Yeah.
Or his anything. And that I think is what allows him to stay present, which is exactly in most cases what I need. And then I think the other thing I was going to mention that I would say has been a huge part of the progress that I've made towards, you know, movement towards healing, especially recently, has been his acknowledgement and affirmation and verbal support, financial encouragement toward getting professional help.
Yes.
And
so many people feel bad spending that kind of money on themselves or the time.
I do / did / kind of still, like, I don't know where that falls because it feels like it's like this luxurious expense. And in a way it is. I mean, it's like, I do consider it a luxury, and I know that I'm very grateful that we're at a place where we've made ourselves be able to afford it. This is coming from family with no budget.
No budget.
and I say that with zero pride. That's like,
you may or may not be able to afford it. We're not quite sure.
Exactly. Who knows? But guess what? At least the wife is self-aware enough to understand that she needs help. So anyways, it's one of those things where I'm very grateful that he has been affirming of that decision. And
well, it's ultimately for both of you. He benefits as well.
Absolutely. And I see that now. I think initially it was like, how is this fair? And I also think this is kind of opening up a can of worms, but there's also a part of me through that journey. And I started seeing a therapist every other week, really with complete regularity, at the beginning of 2019. So it's been almost a full year of that. And one of the things that I also have noticed is that there have been plenty of times where I think to myself, I kind of wish he would also see somebody, because I think it would, not only I think he would enjoy it, but also I think there are aspects of starting to uncover things about yourself that then allow you to maybe understand what someone else who's going on a similar personal growth journey, like, it would give us similar language or similar experiences to be able to relate on that level. We'll get there.
It's nice. It's good. I love going.
Yeah.
It's
one of the highlights of my every 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, and I think for me, I'm on medication for depression, and I didn't want to be on it. Nobody wants to be on it. I'm a nurse. I give medication all day long. I don't ever look down on the people I'm medicating, but I don't want to take medication. Like, we're so silly. We're absolutely ridiculous.
My reasons for not wanting to take it are I don't love side effects.
Mm, yeah.
It's less about the stigma and more about the fact that I don't like when there's other stuff going on that are, you know, you feel like it's like a trade-off almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think for me, I don't have side effects. I just felt silly about it. But I think that when I realized, when my girlfriends would come to me and be like, sister, we need you to be on something. Like, you, I can tell that you're not yourself. You are not doing well. Mm-hmm. And I'm noticing this over this period of time. And then realizing that I'm doing it for my husband and for my kids. And I just, I'm better when I'm balanced.
If it helps you show up in a more true way to yourself, then I think who cares what people think about it?
Yeah. Well, and everybody benefits, honestly, if we're able to.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Be healthy. So, Oh my goodness. Well, y'all, we're out of time. I didn't even get to all my questions, but thank you so much for being brave and showing up to fight into a microphone.
Thank you. I love that.
Yeah, and honestly, the experience, I think, of just living through it is my one thing that I would say for anyone who's listening, married or not, relationships, everyone deals with them, right? And so what we say over and over again is that talking things out in tight bear hugs fix almost everything. And we say almost, I think, because, I mean, there's plenty of times where I'm like, bear hug, don't touch me.
But the
talking things out is I think, the biggest piece of what we've learned is just to hang in there with it and reframing those myths has been, so helpful for us. And
I want to ask you if you've ever tried this. I recently heard this advice. If you're fighting with your spouse, get naked and sing it.
I try to get that going so many times.
Singing the
fight? Is that what you've been doing?
Oh my gosh.
Can you put your clothes back on? For goodness sakes. No, so I'm a never nude.
You're a never nude. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Geez.
Do you have on cutoff jeans shorts right
now? Yes, she does.
I'm like a card carrying never knew. I mean, I legitimately, when I changed today, I would check to make, it's ridiculous. So that would be my worst nightmare.
Okay.
But he would do it. He would try it.
Can you at least sing while you fight?
No.
No?
We don't sing while we fight.
I don't know. We've never tried. I've never heard this before. I'm actually, you know what? We're going to have to do.
We're going to have to try
it and report back.
Please do. Because I think it'd be so hard not to just
try it?
Laugh. No, because we laugh while we fight anyhow.
There you go.
That's because marriage is funny.
It's hysterical. All right. I hope that you love that. I hope you got a lot out of it. I hope you saw some of your own marriage in their conversation. So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week based on what the Peppers said? Maybe you check out their podcast called Marriage is Funny. There is also a really great resource that my husband and I have actually gone through. You can find it at marriagehelp.org. It's just a marriage class that's biblical and really walks you through step by step some of the biggest pits that we fall into in our marriage. And it took our marriage that was fine to a really great marriage. So I would recommend the website again is called marriagehelp.org. Maybe this week you struggle well by considering fighting in front of people. That probably sounds like your personal nightmare, but it really gives you a lot of insights. And like the Pepper said, you fight differently if eyes are watching you other than just your husband's. Maybe you start doing what Brené Brown suggests and say, the story I'm telling myself is blah, blah, blah. It kind of helps you realize how unrelated to reality what you're believing is. And it helps them realize why you maybe were getting upset about something that you shouldn't have been getting that upset about it. Because it really wasn't about the meatloaf, guys. It's not about the meatloaf. It's about something else entirely. Maybe you struggle well this week by trying things that other marriage people say work, but then giving yourself the freedom to say, that does not work for us. Don't try to squeeze yourself into something that doesn't fit. Maybe this week you struggle well by staying curious about your spouse. Maybe you can anticipate most of what comes out of their mouth because you've lived together for so long, but that doesn't mean you know everything about them. Stay curious, be interested in them, just the way that you would love if they stayed curious and were interested in you as a person. Okay, so regarding couple friends, maybe you try to make some. And if you really like the girl, but maybe your husband just doesn't like the guy, maybe you just go out with the girl sometimes. You know, and I think it works differently for everyone. The Peppers said they love having all four people in the couples talking together as a group. I really don't care about what the guys are talking about most of the time. So I don't want to talk to them. So anyway, it just be free to talk to your spouse about what are you hoping for this evening to look like so that you can be on the same page. A lot of times I find that the guys don't really care what the girls are talking about either. So I want my couples dates to run differently than the Peppers, and that's great. What you just need to know is what does your spouse want it to look like, so that you can manage expectations. Ladies, as always, come find me on Instagram @MomStrugglingWell. Join us on Patreon, again, @MomStrugglingWell. I love hearing from you guys. I love the back and forth that comes after the podcast has released. So tell me what you liked, tell me what you learned, share this with somebody who could use it. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, marriage is hard. It is so refining. And I know I'm not a peach to live with all the time. Help me to remember that I have such a plethora of my own special issues I'm working with. Lord, in the times that we just want to pull our hair out because our spouse is making us nuts, would you help us remember we chose them? And there were some great things that we chose them for. Help us recover what those things are. Give us a brand new perspective. Help us to see each other as part of the same team. Help us to forgive past hurts. Help us to be interested. Help us to move towards one another when we really just sometimes want to run away. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes, help us to see areas where we are just so prideful and dead wrong in our own marriages. It's never 100% one person. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to, this week, get more acquainted with the stories that we are telling ourselves, because it's very possible that we are believing all kinds of lies or just things that are not right. Maybe close to the truth, but ultimately way far off if you look at the trajectory of it. So just help us, please, to keep our eyes on you and tell ourselves stories that are true. In Jesus' name, amen.